am so happy to be here with you guys today. And I'm a little bit embarrassed on a crazy week. So I will probably reference my notes quite often. So if you'll bear with me, we'll get through this. So obviously 2020 was a crazy year, right? I know it was everywhere. This isn't something that just happened here or there. 2020 was crazy for everybody. The obvious was the pandemic, you know, the virus itself, the death, the sickness, the mask, the lines, you know, whatever it is. It was a difficult year. And as Dale said earlier, it's not like it's went away. It's definitely carried into 2021. The pandemic isn't much better. And aside from the pandemic, all throughout 2020, there was social unrest. There were protests and riots, and that too has carried over into 2021, of course, and so much political division. You know, it was an election year, so that was just the icing on top of the cake of just a year of struggles and trials and just difficulties for so many people. And so I'm by no means an expert on how to survive difficult times. But I do want to offer four things, for those of you that take notes, there'll be four things, that I believe have helped me to overcome many things in my life, but specifically this last year and even now. And so we're going to talk about those four things. And like I said, I'm no expert, but the Bible, of course, is my source and inspiration. This isn't stuff I just am pulling out of thin air. This is stuff that God's word equips us for how to deal with storms. And so let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started with the four things. And I'm hoping that I can update you on my personal ministry throughout these four things. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this church. I thank you for each and every person that you have brought here and that you are here with us. I ask that you use my words to be your words, that the things I share are the things that you would want to share. Lord, I just ask that you be with us all and that we can find inspiration in your word, Lord, for how to survive those storms, Lord, because we know they come. We just ask you to be here with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So number one, fear less and trust more. So listen to what God told Jacob in Isaiah 43:1. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That's all of you. That's me. He made and formed all of us, and he's called us all by our name. And so, you know, it was difficult throughout the year, those times that I was in fear. And there were many things, times that I had reason to be fearful. In May, I had the virus. I was very sick. I wasn't as sick as some people get. I was on oxygen for over a month. I can say that for the most part, I'm like, okay, God's in control. He's got this. I'm fine. I'm not that sick. But the day I went on oxygen, I can genuinely say and honestly that I was terrified. I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I could not breathe. I wasn't sure that I was actually going to overcome. I'd been telling everybody, no, I got this. God's good. He's going to get me through. But that day, I was scared. But I had to overcome it, because when we focus on our fears, we aren't focusing on God. And so that's one of the things that I really had to just take a big breath, as big as one I could, because I couldn't breathe, and just fully trust that God was in control and that God's will was going to happen, whether it was for me to continue breathing or was for me to stop, that God was in control. And so I had to let go of that fear. And so, like, there were so many things. I've lost 10 friends during this pandemic, and that's scary. It is scary. I mean, but death is a part of life. And I have to constantly remind myself of that, because it's difficult. It's hard when people we love and people we care about die. And this virus has killed so many people that I called my friends, that I called my family, and it has taken them. And then I was also pretty fearful as time went on. I'm like, how do I do ministry? Like, what am I going to do? There's a community center where I help people finish high school. That's a big part of my ministry. I not only speak, like, help them learn and obviously pass the test to graduate, but I speak Jesus to them. I share the gospel with them. And I had nowhere to meet. The community center is still closed. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I have nowhere to do my ministry. All my outreaches, everything, were in this one building. I pastor a church called Broken Walls. We couldn't meet from March till the summer. We couldn't meet because the Navajo Nation is on weekend curfews. You can't leave your house or you get a $1,000 fine. So they could not leave their house. And at that time, until July, we were meeting in a reservation town. We couldn't have church. It was impossible. I can't afford a $1,000 fine, and other people certainly can't. And so, you know, I was so fearful that, like, what, we're going to lose our church. We're going to, I mean, all my ministry, every focus of my ministry was just gone. And so I had been praying, and I'm like, okay, I need to actually do something about this and stop being so fearful. Because I was meeting students in parking lots and parks, and it was not working at all. And so I got together with I'm part of Brethren in Christ World Missions. And I got together with them, and they're like, well, let's find a place. Let's find a place. You can rent a place and meet there. And I'm like, okay, well, that in itself was scary, because the place that I found was $430 a month. And I'm like, I don't have $430 a month. That's not part of my ministry agreement. But God provided there. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But he provided that. I had nothing to fear because he found a way. You know, and then there was my friends and my family. My daughter graduated from college in May. And that was one of my biggest kind of heartaches of the pandemic, was that I did not get to see my daughter graduate. Those of you that are parents can imagine that was pretty heartbreaking. But she did graduate, and she moved to Albuquerque, and she had a job for a while, but she lost it because of the pandemic. And I was scared for her, and I had to, like, cover her bills, and I was having a hard enough time covering my own bills, and she didn't have work. And so that was scary stuff. And then more recently, in December, I had to have two surgeries. For those of you that don't know, I have multiple sclerosis, and I have, like, crazy spasticity in my legs, and so they literally had to cut open my calf and sever the tendon that goes down to my foot. And I also had knee surgery at the same time, and then I found out that I have to have both my knees replaced, and I'm pretty young for having to have knee replacements, but that's just what it is. And so then, you know, that fear starts to creep back in, like, how am I going to keep doing ministry? What am I going to do? But you know what? Those fears are unwarranted. God did not call me to the Navajo people just to leave me broken and not able to minister. He's going to continue to keep me in a point that I can minister. And so I have no reason to fear that at all. So I love what Paul, who had all sorts of trials, by the way. I mean, this guy had it rough. He was beaten, imprisoned all the time. He was shipwrecked. I mean, he had a thorn in his side. We don't know what that was, but this guy had a lot of trials and a lot of tribulation. And you know what? He spoke about not fearing all the time. Like, it was just like kind of his anthem. And so in Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39, he said that he was convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything in all of creation would be able to separate him from the love in Christ Jesus. Nothing. He had nothing to fear despite all these trials and tribulations he had to go through. So nothing that God throws at us should make us cower in fear, but it should grow our faith. It should make us trust him more. Finally, one of the final things that Jesus said to his disciples before going to the cross is found in John chapter 14, verse 27, where Jesus tells the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." If Jesus said it, we can be rest assured that it's true. We should not be troubled. Number two, count your blessings. The Bible constantly reminds us of this principle on how we should be full of thanksgiving in good times and most definitely in hard times. You read a little bit of that before. Remember Paul, who endured all this stuff and all these difficulties. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, to rejoice always, pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And he tells the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15, to let the peace of God rule in your hearts to be thankful. He probably has 20 more verses at least on just Thanksgiving. It was so important to him. And so I could stand up here, but we would be here all day if I could tell you the blessings I have had this last year. So I'm not going to share all of them because I'm sure you guys don't want to be here all day. But some of the biggest ones is right at the beginning of the year, before the pandemic hit, I had been raising money for months in order to be able to deploy with Brethren in Christ World Missions. And in January, I was actually able to accomplish that goal and raised all my money. And I officially deployed with Brethren in Christ World Missions on February 1st. And that has been an immense blessing. I can't even tell you how wonderful it is to have their support and their leadership as I minister to the Navajo people. I've been in ministry with the Navajo people for almost 14 years now. But it's so much easier and done the right way to have been able to be able to deploy with them. And that came from the support of so many people. This church is one of the people that make that possible for me to be under Brethren in Christ World Missions and other churches and individuals in this church. And so I'm immensely grateful for that. And of course, I'm grateful that I was healed from COVID. I still have some residual stuff, but I'm healthy. I'm standing here. And so I'm so grateful for that. And then of course, you know, the office space that I told you about, that became such a blessing. We were able to, my office was there. It was actually an art retail space. And we knew then it was only going to be a 6-month thing because it was downtown. And the only reason I was able to have an office there was because downtown's all tore up. And at that time, they couldn't actually open a business or anything. And there's nothing in New Mexico was open, nothing. And so I knew it was only going to be temporary, but Broken Walls was able to meet there. And we grew so much. We continue to grow. One of the things I was able to do because I had a space was to start a 12-step, faith-based 12-step program. That was so important to me. I'm an addict. And so it was such a blessing for me, and it's a blessing for the guys and the ladies that come. And so that has continued to grow as well. And that wouldn't be possible without this space. So I'm so grateful. And having my students be able to come to a place that is inviting and they feel welcome. I have a mini fridge, so they come get drinks, their kids come with them, they think it's great. I always have candy, but it really became a place that there was so much spiritual growth and just different things. And I was able to do outreaches. Normally I do 4 outreaches a year, when a non-pandemic year. Usually in the spring I have a clothing giveaway, and then in August I do a back to school giveaway. In October, I do a coats and cocoa, so like warm weather items like hats and coats, and many of you guys have donated towards that, and the school supplies. And then I usually do a Christmas outreach. Well, obviously the clothing drive in the spring did not happen because of the pandemic. And so what I was able to do, because I had this space that was so generously provided, was that I was able to kind of combine the back to school, which ended up being kind of worthless because they still aren't in school, but they still will use the supplies at some point. But we combine the back to school and the clothing giveaway. And so what is normally a 3-hour event on a Saturday was a 3.5-day event where people had to make appointments to come shop and to get their school supplies. And so it was a tremendous amount of work, but because God had given me that space, I was able to pull it off. And there were several people that came to Christ as a result of that outreach. And so all the work, no matter how much more difficult it was worth it just for that. And then in October, we were still able to do the coats and cocoa. We did it outside where Broken Walls was meeting. At that time, our mass gathering number was 10, so we could let 10 people into the gate at one time. It's not 10 anymore, it's 5. Actually, I think it's 3, but at that time it was 10. So we did let people in, and as a result, we had people that started coming to Broken Walls. I got many new students as a result of that outreach, and people did give their lives to Christ, and we had so many prayer requests. And so it has been such a thing, and I am just floored. People have been more generous in the trials of 2020 than any time in my 14 years of ministry. I can't tell you how many people have given that have never given or have given more. There's people in this church that have given me money for Christmas, for travel. The church took up a Christmas offering. And this has been across the board. Like, our whole denomination has been exceedingly generous. And I think that is a good challenge for us, that when times are hard, that's not the time to be stingy and to keep everything for ourselves. And so I have been so blessed for that. And it can be hard to be thankful. You know, there, I'm not saying I did it perfectly. There were times that I was so frustrated with the rules and, you know, everything. I mean, there's just so much stuff, especially in New Mexico. For a month, I had to drive to another state to get groceries, because to get groceries in Farmington, you had to wait over 3 hours. And I was like, I'm not doing that. So I drove to Colorado to get groceries. And those times were so frustrating. And I just had to take a step back and say, you know what? God is still providing. This may not be convenient. It may not be what you want. And so I really, really constantly have to remind myself that my first thing should be gratitude, not like, this really, really sucks, because sometimes it does. So, and yeah, it just does. I'm often reminded of the story of Job. You know, Job lost everything. Talk about a guy that went through some trials, and for no fault of his own. I mean, most people that are going through stuff right now, it's not necessarily their fault. But he lost his family, he lost his livelihood, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. His family turned on him, his friends turned on him. But he says this in Job 1, 20 and 21. Though that naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What an attitude. He lost everything, and he was saying, God, I praise you. And so I think that that can be such, it's definitely an inspiration for me, and it should be for everyone, to have that attitude of gratitude, that no matter what's going on in our world, we have so much to be thankful for. I know I do. Number 3, love one another. I have been absolutely heartbroken so many times this past year. I mean, Dale talked about, you know, how heartbreaking it was the other day. But all through the year, I have seen people be so hateful to one another because they had opinions. They were right and everybody else was wrong. And it wasn't just the secular world. I have Christian brothers and sisters who have broken my heart with the hatred they have displayed towards their fellow human beings. And I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart. It really does. I mean, when it comes to politics, anything, like, there's, we've argued about everything this year. I mean, it's just, it's been hard. But you know what? We are called to carry each other's burdens and to love one another. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 to carry each other's burdens. And in Galatians 5:13 says, you were called to freedom, but to not use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but to serve others with love. So yes, we have those freedoms. We can disagree with people. We can have opinions. But if we're using those for our self-gratification or to spew hate or to, you know, get our way, then we're not living as God called us to. You know, oftentimes I have felt pretty powerless this past year. And the one thing that I have been able to offer is love. You know, things are bad in New Mexico. Things are bad everywhere. But just to give you a little bit of a glimpse, New Mexico already has, we already have the lowest life expectancy of any state in the country. We have so much poverty and so much drug and alcohol addiction, and our healthcare system is terrible, and especially the Navajo people just have so many health issues on a normal basis. You know, my 10 friends that have died, 9 of those were Native Americans, because it's just deadly there. And just to kind of give you a little bit of a comparison, not to say, oh, look at us, we're worse, but just as a comparison, because I like statistics. So Farmington is about the same exact population of Salina. And I know we're not in Salina, but for reference, Salina is about the same size as Farmington. So Saline County right now has had 5,000 cases and 74 deaths. The county I live in, the county that Farmington is, has had 155,000 cases. So 150,000 more cases, and we've had almost 3,000 deaths. And that just gives you a little bit of perspective that, yes, things are bad everywhere. They really are. And any death is not good. But it's so much worse there, more than you can probably wrap your head around, that there's that many more cases in a town the exact same size. But it's because of those other issues. And so, you know, the Navajo Nation, if you consider it a nation, which it is its own, it actually is its own government. They have their own president, they have everything. Per capita, the Navajo Nation has had more cases and more death than anywhere in the entire world. And so whereas, you know, the general population, it's been about 1%, and the death rate has been about 1% of that. The Navajo Nation now is at 30% of an infection rate, and the death rate is 12%. So it is just particularly bad there. But that's been such an opportunity to show love to people, to put my opinions aside, to put what I think how things should be, because I have opinions. Of course I have opinions. But it's not my job to force those on people or to say my way is the right way and theirs is the wrong way. And so one of the things I've been able to do is to contribute to the funeral expenses of my friends that have died. Because people have been generous, I've been able to do that. There have been two different organizations that have actually... One was from Brethren in Christ World Missions through the World Compassion Fund, and another one was a local that know that I minister to the Navajo people, and so they're like, we have these funds. You know what to do good with them. And it was interesting, the ones that came from the World Compassion Fund, I was told to select 3 families that I could spend $200 on, and they could have did anything, like for medical bills or for, you know, their electricity or whatever, but all 3 of those families chose for me to buy them food. The food insecurity in New Mexico is crazy. When the pandemic started, you have to understand that Farmington does not have a rail system. We don't have an airport. We don't have a major highway. There was no food. That was another time I had to drive somewhere else to get food because we had none. Like everywhere had toilet paper shortages and we had nothing. And it still continues to be difficult. But like I said before, I've been blessed. Like, I don't know if some of you know Ben and Eunice Stoner. They have chickens, so I always have eggs. So, I mean, you know, God will provide a way, but that's been one thing that I've been able to do was to help those families. And then one of those was the other one that was given locally was to help with funeral expenses for my friend Araya that died. I also made masks. Now you can get them everywhere. You can get them at the gas station. But in the beginning, you couldn't, and we had to wear them. We get a $100 fine if we don't have our mask on. And a business, if they let you in and you don't have a mask, they get a $500 fine. And actually, that's not true. That's a $5,000 fine. There were 2 churches in Albuquerque on Christmas Eve that both got $10,000 fines. $5,000 of that was for making people wear masks. And the other $5,000 was for being over the mass gathering number, because our churches can only be 15%. So they both got $10,000 fines. And so making masks was important. And so I think I made around 160. It was actually really fun. I did a ministry print up where it shared the gospel message, because it said something to the effect that, you know, the masks really aren't going to protect you, but the blood of Jesus does. And so I was able to minister through that, and so that was actually a good thing. So I've given rides. My daughter and I adopted a family for Christmas because I was not able to do a Christmas outreach. And so the funds I would have used for that, we were able to bless a family that had nothing, like literally nothing for Christmas. And so, you know, and I mean, and just being present with people, I actually attended a couple protests. I was not there protesting. I'm not going to share my opinion on any of that. That wasn't why I was there. I was there to say, hey, you know what? I love you, and I care that you are passionate about this, that you feel like you are on the margins, that you feel like you're being somehow pushed down. And so it was important for me to be there, not to protest, but to be present and to let them know that I love you and Jesus loves you even more and Jesus cares what you feel. And so, I mean, it was just stuff like that. And just to be able to pray with my students and, you know, that kind of stuff. And again, this is another area. I wasn't perfect. I work with really difficult people sometimes. And sometimes it's so hard to remember that I am called to love people. Just the other day, an addict friend of mine, I mean, he was withdrawing, called me at 2 a.m. and didn't stop talking till 8. And I wanted so bad to be like, I want to go to sleep. But that's not what we do. That's not what we're called to do. And so Jesus, who of course is the ultimate authority and example, he says in John 13:34, a new command I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. Okay, the love of Jesus is nearly impossible for me to comprehend. But I do know that he died on the cross because he loved me. That's pretty intense, crazy love. And he didn't say just be nice to people. He said, love other people like I love you. He went to the extreme. He died because he loved me. And he died because he loved you. He loved and died for the people in the opposite political party of you. He loved and died for those people that you don't agree with their lifestyle. He loved and died for that difficult, obnoxious neighbor you have. He died and loved all of them. And he commanded us to do the same. So if I'm getting frustrated and not loving these people, then I am in disobedience to God. Jesus commanded us to do it. Number 4, have hope and give hope. Jesus promised in John 16:33 that in this world we will have trouble, but to take heart that he has overcome the world. Nothing lasts forever. None of this has taken God by surprise. He didn't say, oh goodness, I didn't see this pandemic coming. None of it takes him by surprise. He knew it was coming because you know what? He promised us that we would have trouble, but we're not to fret. We're to hope because he has overcome the world. And so I think that, you know, as we go from here, like it's my job to give hope. It's not to stress people out or to make things more difficult. It's to show that when we have Christ, we have hope. Yes, things are bad. They're going to probably still be bad for a while. But this too shall pass. It will. Now, will there be something else down the line? Of course there will be. Jesus promised it. That's not a promise people like to claim. Jesus promised we were going to have trouble, but that he has overcome the world. And so there has been so much cause for hope the last year. I've had so many people give their lives to Jesus. I've often said, especially the last couple of months, as I've had time to reflect on the year, this has been the easiest year of ministry ever. And that sounds so weird, but people are desperate. People have lost hope. It has been so much easier because I always share the gospel with my students. I always share the gospel with the Native Americans that I interact with. It's been way easier because they have something. They're so desperate for that hope. And I can give them a verse. I can show them what Jesus did and what Jesus said. And they can be like, oh, okay, there is reason to hope. It's just like when we talked about the scripture I had Dale read. You know, trials, I mean, the hard times is what produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint. No one's ever going to say, no, I don't want to hope. It's just not true. Hope does not disappoint. So I also have to add Jeremiah 17:7, which declares, blessed is the man who trusts the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Dale, when you talked earlier about, you know, where our treasure is, if we're putting hope in our fellow humans, even Christians, they're going to fail us. We're going to be disappointed. We cannot put our hope in things. We cannot put our hope in people. Our hope has to be in Jesus Christ, or it's not truly hope. And so I think that, you know, like I said, there's no magical formula to those four things I gave. Dale's a great preacher. I'm sure he's preached on all of those things. But just to recap, number one, fear less and trust more. Number two, count your blessings. Number three, love one another. And four, have hope and show hope. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, you have given us the Bible as a tool, Lord, and it tells us exactly how we can overcome trials and difficulties. Lord, that we have, for the most part, in the last year, been in a storm that none of us saw coming, Lord, but you did. Lord, we know that you are in control. Nothing takes you by surprise, Lord, and you have equipped us. You have given us your word. You have given us Jesus, who told us not to fear, but to trust. Lord Jesus also said that we're not to fret, that because although we will have trials, that he has overcome the world. And so, Lord, we can move forward here with hope. Lord, hope that all is in control. Lord, that we do not need to fear, that we can be thankful in all circumstances. Lord, we may not like them, but, Lord, we can still be thankful because they do produce perseverance, and that leads to hope, Lord. And we are desperate for that. The broken, lost world is desperate for that. They're desperate for you. And I just thank you for the last year and the opportunities that has opened up to bring people into your kingdom that are searching for those answers. And I just praise you for that, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for this church. I ask that you bless them in the coming year, Lord, and that you remain with us always as we know you do. It's in your son's holy name that we pray. Amen.
Denise, there was a song that was introduced last week that was new, and we decided that it would fit today very well also, and so we're going to sing it again today, and hopefully you'll remember some of it, and hopefully as we sing and as you get involved in it and follow, it will become meaningful. It's be strong in the Lord, not in our own might.